Alright, we'll start at the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Bet. So Abayin's come to speak about Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah. And Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah, we discussed earlier, has an opinion that within 1 year, you could create a chazak of Shlosh Shanim. Because you could have multiple crops. You could have Tvuah, you could have Zeitim, and then you could have Tmarim, or Te'enim. And within 1 year, you could create a complete chazakah. So Rabbi says, okay, let's look at Rabbi Shmuel, and maybe Rabbi Shmuel will shed light on the opinion of the Rabbanan. Now the Rabbanan clearly believe you need 3 years. You need a full 3 years. But maybe something from Rabbi Shmuel's right, opinion will also affect the Rabbanan. So Rabbi meet Rabbi Shmuel, Nishma the Rabbanan. Hayulo shloshim ilanot mimata asara lebeit tza'ah. So he has 30 trees out in a field, and each set of 10 of those trees takes up a beit tza'ah in order that they be properly planted, which is that they're not going to be too close to each other, which would not establish a chazakah, or too far apart. I mean, if they're too close together, then they're omid lakira, right? They're going to be uprooted or taken out. And therefore, it's not machzeik de machzei inche. It's not a real chazakah. We saw this earlier in Tosfos and the Masechta, that when you have a chazakah, you have to be, it has to be that you are working or doing with a field that normally would be kept in this manner. Since in the end, this field won't be kept that way, that won't be a chazakah. So it can't be more than 10. And if it's less than 10, then you don't have a chazaka on the whole property because the ilanot stand independently. It doesn't become a stay ilan. If there are less than 10 ilanot per beit za'ah, then the whole beit za'ah is not classified as a stay ilan, but rather each ilan gets its own area around it, but you don't look at the entirety of the sadeh.
That is the Shitat HaRashbam, who believes that when you have too many trees there, it becomes a yar, it becomes a forest versus a steilan. If too few trees there, then you don't get the entirety of the property. You just get the land that surrounds each tree that you'll be allocated based on the singular trees that are there. Tosfos the Reed disagrees and says when there are too many trees there, the problem is not that it's classified as a yar, but he says, or the Rashba tries to explain that the problem there is that you don't eat all the trees, meaning that you don't eat enough fruits from all the trees that are there. If you ate all the fruit from all the trees that were there, it would create a chazakah. But over here, because you're only eating from 10 or 11 of the trees that are there, some of those trees are going to be taken out. So you're not establishing a chazakah because you're missing some of the trees that need to be eaten. And when you have too many trees there, he disagrees with the Rashbam and says that you get no land whatsoever. When there are two free trees, you get the trees and that's it, and no land whatsoever. So that's why it has to be, in this case, a case of mimata asara lebeit za'ah, that there are 10 trees per beit za'ah in order to create the chazakah over here, either according to the Rashbam or according to the Reef for their each of their respective reasons.
So in order for it to be a steilan, you need 10 per beit za'ah. So Tosfos here deals with more the technical aspects of that, whether that's true. Right, right. So they have it comes up a number of times. We're going to see it again later in the Masechta. But Tosfos deals with some of the technical aspects, whether it's really true, and are this true of all types of trees. But let's assuming that it is the case that you have 10 per beit za'ah as a normal distribution of trees for a beit ilan, or a steilan. And therefore you have 30. So that means you have 3 beit za'ah here that he wants to make a chazak on. So now what does he do? So he has this. Ayu shloshim ilanot mimatasara beit za'ah. Achal asara b'shana zu. Vasara b'shana zu. Vasara b'shana zu arzu chazaka. That if he eats 10 each year, then that classifies as a chazaka. How do we know that from Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel says in a single field, I could harvest the tvuah, I could take the zeitim, and take the teinim. Now, obviously, they're not growing, right, they're not replanting and growing in the same place. They're all growing somewhat simultaneously, because the olive trees have to be there, you know, for a long period of time. So do the, right, date trees, fig trees, they all have to be there. So when he plants the tabuat, and the way the Rashbam describes it was interspersed, it's all over the field, that you have these different, growths, meaning that you have zeitim, teinim, and then the tabuah, and you harvest each section. And when you harvest each section, we give you a chazak on the entirety of the field. We don't say, oh, just where you did the tabuah, just where you did the zeitim. Right? We say that they, each one of them is sufficient to be classified as a chazakah for the whole field. So it's over here. You have 10, 10, and 10. Each year, if he does 10 of them, that will qualify as a chazakah for the whole field. Marzez, lav mi amai Rabbi Shmuel. Didn't Rabbi Shmuel explain to us? Chad perik, have a chazaka, the kule perik. One type or one harvest is sufficient to be a chazaka for the entire of the field, just like we described here. It's three different vegetables or vegetations that are growing there, and each one of them will suffice to be a chazaka for the entirety of the field. Where it says, Achanami, also over here, hani have a chazaka lahani, bahani have a chazaka lahani. Each of the 10 will work to be a chazaka towards the others. Now the Gemara is going to qualify the statement because it doesn't really make so much sense. Because if you each field, this is the problem here, is that each field stands independently. You have a steilan, you really have three steilan, or steilanot, right? Meaning that the fields, you have beitza, beitza, beitza. Just because you eat 10 in this field, 10 in the next field, and 10 in the next field, why should that help you to make a chazak on the entirety of the three beitza here? It doesn't make so much sense. The Gemara qualifies it and says, well, that's not Gemara. Then we could. If he had all three of them at the same time and did it for 3 years, there's no question.
No, maybe in 1 year.
So in 1 year he can't do it, because we said that before earlier in the Gemara, that if the fruits exist on the trees right before you harvest, then that's not classified as a separate harvest. I mean, it has to be that each one is independently, right, comes to fruition or comes to its ripening state. And that if they already exist on the tree, by the time that you're harvesting the first one, then they don't classify as a new harvest. So here you can't have that. I mean, generally all these trees are going to come to a ripened state in a generally the same time. They're not going to come at so far apart that it won't be that classification. So you have to have it that they are over 3 different years. Now the Gemara says, "Hani mili heichad lo afiku." That's only if the trees didn't fruit, meaning that you have a set of 30 trees, and then each year only 10 trees fruit or give fruit in those years. So therefore, you're eating everything that is on that field during that year, right? So there's you're eating anything you can eat. Now, again, the Rashbam describes this as being dispersed. The trees are dispersed over the field. So the 10 that fruit or give fruit are not 10 in one beitzah, but like 3 in this beitzah, 3 in this beitzah, 3 in this beitzah, or 4 in that beitzah. So you have 10 each year that are giving fruit, you know, interspersed over the field. And that's how you're going to create a chazak over here. Because if they fruit and you don't take the fruit, then you've just given up the option. You've really given up the chazak of, because you're not taking the fruit from those trees that are fruiting that year. I mean, they're not edible in those first 3 years. Then you can't establish a chazakah in that case.
There are some that are orla, there's some that are not orla. So.
Oh, you mean, okay, so that's a way to get rid of it. Right, okay.
And they're giving fruit and it's orla, it's not disqualifying you the fact that you didn't orla.
Right, that's fair. I think that's a very good point. All right, so now the Gemara says, Abo afiku v'lo achal, if they gave fruit and you did not eat them, which would support your position that you have to be able to eat them in order to be qualified as, or disqualify the chazakah, lo yavi chazakah, that's not a chazakah. V'hu, the baze ba'azuze. Right, so that is only true, right, that if they're baze ba'azuze means that when he ate 10 each year, that's when, again, that what I described with the Rashbam, they have to be spread out over the field. And that it can't be, if you ate 10 this year from the Beitza'ah, 10 next year from the next Beitza'ah, and 10 for the next Beitza'ah, they didn't establish a chazak over the field. Each field, each Beitza'ah could stand independently. Each steilan is an independent steilan. So you have no chazakah, because you have no chazakah in each of these fields. So it has to be interspersed, so you create a unit, that the fields, the three Beitza'ah are a single unit. So you have a field, and they have to have fruit each, each year. You have to have 10 of them that are giving fruit, and the other 20 are not giving fruit. So Tosu says, and the Rach says that it's a case of Benot Shuach. Right? Benot Shuach are these type of dates that only give fruit once every 3 years. So that's why it could happen. Because Tosu says, he says the Rach has to be right. Because he says, otherwise, I love the lesson of the Tosu over here, he says, Bisharli Yenot, Be'elef Shanim Lo Yirezeh. Says, in any other tree, in 1,000 years, nothing would happen like this. What? That 10, all of a sudden, these 10 fruit, and the other 20 don't, and the next year 10, and the other 20... Because it's just, it's an impossibility. It's just a statistical, right? It would be such a statistical anomaly that you would never... Right, orla could work, actually, right? That's, nobody mentions them. It's good. It's a good point that the orla could work that way. But the other thing is there's benot shuach. Benot shuach, since they give fruit only every 3 years, you have a possibility that you could be cycling. The trees could be 10 on their cycle of 3 years. Tosus does ask the question, which David, you had asked before. He says, okay, wait, but if you harvest them at different times, right, then it should be considered a different harvest, unless, which we had before with the caper bush, with the tzlaf, if they already have, if even if they're not ripened yet, but if the fruits exist, then it's considered part of the same harvest. So, but no chuach, even though it's every 3 years that you harvest them, but the fruits are there, right, they're ready, that's the Gemara talks about Shemitah. Shemitah for them is like in the 8th or 9th year, because of their plant at age, they're planning to give fruit in Shemitah, those fruits that are being picked in the 9th year are really from the Shemitah year. So you see that the fruits do exist, right, during that early period. So then, how do we deal with that? How do we deal with the fact that the fruits exist, and then it's not separate harvests? They're all classified as one harvest. So Tosfos says, well, it's interesting, as he says, Yesh lomar, kevin shadayin yeshana ad gemar shalahem. So it's over a year till the fruits go. Have a shaper be denied to eat till the high pay or late to the high pay. It's just too far a distance. I mean, we're talking about a caper bush every 3 years, every 3 days it's giving fruit. Then if you say it today and it's about to fruit in 3 days it's going to give, then we say whatever exists today, that fruit when you pick it in 3 days existed 3 days ago. So anyway, talking about something that's going to be harvested in a year from now, 2 years from now, it's not even within the category of simultaneous harvests. So that's already considered separate harvests and separate units, and you don't have to worry about it not being each one being an independent harvest. Right? So that's the one piece about Rabbi Shmuel. Now we're going to move on to a...
Hold on a second. So when Abaye is saying what he said, how does he get to this stance of the Rabbanan? How do we know from Rabbi Shmuel that this is what the Rabbanan would hold?
Because the only thing we know from Shmuel is that you do not have to... The entire field does not have to be picked or... you don't have to utilize the entire field to create a chazakah. That even if you use a portion of the field, that is enough to create a chazakah on the remainder of the field. So over here, when he has a field that has olives on it, grain on it, and figs on it, he's not, each time he picks them, it's a separate harvest, we don't say that, oh, just because he picked one section of the field, it doesn't work for the rest of the field. It works for the entirety of the field. So to over here, the harvest, even though they're over a period of 3 years, and he's not picking from the same place each year, they will together be considered as if he picked the whole field each of those years. So that the idea that you don't have to pick an entire field to create a chazakah, you can pick a portion of the field to create a chazakah. That is the parallel that he's drawing between Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim. All right, now, the Gemara is going to talk about here, about Ilanot. It's Machlokes to Rashbam and the Tosfos, exactly what chazakah we're dealing with. The Rashbam says the chazakah we're dealing with here is a chazakah of kinyan, of mechira, making a kinyan to buy something. You're buying, purchasing something, and you want to take possession of it. That's the kinyan chazakah that we're talking about here. The Reed disagrees and says, what are you talking about? What's this doing in the middle of our Gemara here? Chazak over here, and our chazak in our perek is always chazka shloshanim, right, of 3 years. There's no chazak, all of a sudden, this belongs in another perek. Anybody goes, all of a sudden they interject with this type of chazak over here. So the Reed says, no, that we're talking about chazka shloshanim. And number two is, he says, if you're talking about a kinyan can be kesef shtar and chazak. Why is the Gemara only mentioning chazak over here? It doesn't make so much sense. So the Rashbam saying that this is kinyan chazak, and the Read it says that we're talking about a chazkas shoshani. The other thing is, it deals with the Gemara later on, we're going to get to it later in Baba Basra, is that, and we've seen it, we've actually seen it a couple times, which is that when you purchase trees from an individual, if you purchase individual trees, one or two trees, then you're entitled to the trees and you're not entitled to any karka. You're not entitled to any land along with it. Right. So Shul says when you reach them at three trees, I mean, along with the three trees, again, depending on how they're spread out properly, right, that you get land, karka along with it. It says nafkaminos in terms of like bikurim, mikra bikurim, that you can say that you have aretz there, that you have land that comes along with the trees. Also says nafkaminot, if the trees die, can you replace them or replant them? What do you own or the karka that's there? So the Gemara here is dealing with, again, this concept of how many trees, we're going to see it's going to come up, how many trees the person purchased, in order do they get karka or they don't get karka with it. So that's just a little background before we start. There. Now, the Gemara says, zeh zik bilanot, v'zeich zik b'karka. Right now, in the Gemara, it's not clear, but later on, in the second half of the Daf, you see that it's two lekuchot, two buyers came here. One buyer purchased the lanot, and one purchased the field itself, the karka itself. Amar Rav Zvid, zekane ilanot, v'zekane karka. Right, that the Rav Zvid says, that's right, if he bought the lanot, and he bought the karka, that's exactly what you get. You get the lanot, and I get the karka. So what does it make a difference? Well, the difference is going to be, right, that you only get the peirot of the tree, you get no karka, and that means once the tree dries up and is gone, you have nothing. I mean that you get no more. You've got the output or the can't replant anymore or can't do anything. You get the production of this tree, and that's it. That's all you're entitled to. So now again, this is the month. Right. I mean, obviously, you can support the tree to support its production, but you don't have any rights on the land itself. So now the Rashbam is saying that this is a kinyan chazakah, that we're talking about buying. They're actually purchasing, and this is the chazakah that they're buying it with. The again, is talking about chazkut shloshanim, that they stayed there for 3 years. When does it establish a chazakah that he has the trees and he has the land? Okay, now, matzif l'rapapa, imkein, ein lo debali lanot b'karko klum. Right? Basically, what you're suggesting is that the bali lanot has nothing in the karka. It says, lemele bal karka debali lanot, akori lantcha shakul vizil. Right, the Bala Karka should say to him, listen, if you have no rights in this Karka, take your trees and leave. Meaning that your trees, you own the trees, but I own the land, and your trees are on my land. Right? And so why should he be able to leave, or why should he be able to force him or to allow him to keep the trees. Now, the Rashbam says that when he says lemalei, it's after they dry out. It's not like right now he can say to him, no, go take your trees out of my land right this second. No, because he bought the trees. That's what he owns them for. But he could say to him, listen, you have nothing. After the trees die, you have nothing. You got to take your tree out immediately. Get it out of my land. You have no rights to keep the tree here once it's not fruit producing. The Tosfos gives, I think, a little more explanation to it. He says that even though, according to Rav Zvid, right, Eino Chanami, that's exactly what Rav Zvid said.
So he didn't say it otherwise.
Right. That's what Tosfos says. I mean, what's Rav Papa's question? That's exactly the position of Rav Zvid. He says, what do you mean, Lamelech? That's exactly what Rav Zvid says you do say to him. He says, nevertheless, Rav Papa feels that there's something wrong here, because he says, how can you push him to take the trees out because he sold him three trees? This is a big difference between the Ri, or Tosfos, and the Rashbam. The Rashbam believes that we're talking about two trees over here, and there is no karka along with the trees. Tosfos believes that there were three trees sold here, and technically three trees should come with karka. So how come over here, all of a sudden he loses all his rights? Because he sold the karka to this guy, he gets the trees and he gets nothing else.
Because he specified.
So he says, but that's exactly, you know, that's Rav Zvid's position, is that he said, you sold karka, and we're going to see that in the second half of today's adav, that you sold the karka, sold the lanot, that's it. That's exactly what he sold. You know that the karka was dealt with separately. When you deal with the karka separately, then you're not entitled to karka. So even though when it comes to one purchaser, had it been a single purchaser, had bought two trees, right, then you wouldn't get any karka. And the tree would stay there until it dies. Over here, you get a better position. And that's what Rav Papa believes. Rav Papa believes over here that the owner of the trees can say to the Bala Karka, well, just like he sold you Ba'ayin Yofeh, he sold to me Ba'ayin Yofeh. If he gave you the Karka, and you're saying to me, he gave the Karka everything, not leaving anything for me, why should it be at my, right? Why should it be to my detriment? That if he sold to you with a generous way, then he sold to me in a generous way. If he's going to sell to me in a generous way, then it should include some karka with the trees. I mean, why should you get all the advantage and I get nothing? Here we have a seller. The seller is selling to both of us. We both should get, you know, equal benefit from this. And that's the answer. That's what Rav Papa says. Rav Papa says, I don't understand, Rav Zvid. You can't have it that one buyer gets nothing and one buyer gets everything. They have to have some sort of balance between the two buyers. That's what the position of Rav Papa is, even though technically, I mean, for Rav Zvid, that's exactly his position, is that we don't say that. So, Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa explains here, Zekana ilanot v'chatzi karka, v'zekana chatzi karka, that one of them gets the trees plus half the land, and the other one gets the other half the land. Now, chatzi karka is lav davka. What does it mean, chatzi karka? It means the amount that the trees need, whatever the ilanot need, enough that he can take care of his ilanot. And number two, that if they dry out, that he can replant the lanot. He can replant the tree if one of them dries out. So that's what Prabhupada believes. And that's even if there are only two trees. I mean, even Tosfos agrees to this. Even if there are only two trees now, you still get karka because of the way it was sold. It was sold with karka, sold trees. You get land along with the trees according to Rav Papa. So now the Gemara continues. Pshita. So this is another, these cases, not when you have two buyers, with a seller to two buyers, but rather, this is one guy, individual who sells a part of his land. Pshita. Machar karka b'sheir lanot lefanav. So if he sells land to someone else and he leaves for himself the trees, the owner keeps the trees and sells the land out. So yesh lo karka. It's pshita that we have. You get karka here. Afilu the Rabbi Akiva. Even according to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva is a machlokes, right, between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Akiva and Chachamim argue that when a person sells land, amocher ba'an yofe mocher. When you sell, do you sell in the most generous manner possible, even to your own detriment as a seller? Or mocher v'ayin ro mocher, that you're stingy, that you're a person when he sells the least amount of what he can out of his property, and that's the position of the Rabbanan. So according to Rabbi Akiva, when you sell something, you are selling it v'ayin yofeh, and that's what Gemara is going to say, domar mocher v'ayin yofeh mocher, hani milei gabi bor v'dot, delo machshu ar baro. That when you say, we say that a seller always sells the most generous way, that's when we're talking about inanimate objects on the land, like a boar and a dote, right? Like some cistern or a bricked in boar, whatever these structures are on the land. When you sell them, we say he sells with the most generous way, which means that if he sells the land around them and he leaves himself a boar and a dote, that he has to go back and buy a path to get to his boar and dote. So we say that he sold all the karka around it and he has to go buy a land according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says it's only true. We're talking about an inanimate object, a boar and a dote, which don't affect the land around it. About ilanot, when you're talking about trees, but they ruin the land, that they actually, they take their sustenance from the land, they weaken the land, then shuri shayer. Then he definitely left for himself some, the property. Dilo shayer, lemele, akori lena bezil. Again, if he doesn't say that, then what's going to happen when the land dries out? He's going to say to him, take your tree and get out of here. You don't have any land here. You have nothing here. So it's clear that when the owner sells the karka around it, he means I'm selling the karka X, the karka around the ilanot. Because number one, the area where the ilanot are, it affects the land. And therefore, obviously, he wouldn't sell land that is not fully usable because of the impact the tree has on the land. And number two is he wouldn't sell the land where he doesn't have any continuation, where the tree dies and he's out. I mean, he wants to have, when he sells it, he wants trees. He wants to be able forever, be able to have trees on this portion of the land. And that won't happen if he also sold the land. So even according to Rabbi Kiva, who says when you sell the most generous way, in this case, he will not say that. He'll say that he sold the land, but he left himself land around the ilanot. Now, next case, machar ilanot v'shayer karka. On the other hand, if he sold the trees and left for himself the karka, again, a single seller to a single buyer, plukto to Rabbi Kiva Rabbanan. This is exactly machlokas Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan. Why? L'Rabbi Akiva da amar mocher b'ayin yofeh mocher. Rabbi Kiva says that when the seller sells, he sells in the most generous manner. It, right? So then, it like, then he gets what? He gets to keep the, when he sells the ilanot, he sold the karka. Right? He gave him karka with it. He sold the trees, he sold the karka with the trees. Rabbanon, lately. Right, so now, and according to Rabbanon, who say he sells with the right, most stingy manner, then he's only going to sell the ilanot without karka. Rabbi Kiva, itlay. Rabbi Kiva says you get land along with the trees. Afilu the Rav Zvid. Even according to Rav Zvid, who said before, when you sell to two buyers, that we say that you get nothing. So over here, even Rav Zvid will agree. Why? Because Damar, ain't low. When he says with two buyers that you don't get karka, that's when you're telling when you have two parties that are buying. Because the owners, and this is Rav Zid's logic, is what? Just like I don't have any part in your tree, I'm not getting any of the production, I get zero out of the tree. So too, you get zero out of the land. I mean, both ways, right? I mean that, right, Rav Zid looks at it from that perspective. You want the whole tree and not give up any of the tree, then I get the whole land and I don't give up any of the land. Over here, the is only one person he's selling to. So when it's mocher, he's selling to this, and it gives him the best. What's the best? That he gets land along with his trees. The Rabbanan, lately, according to the Rabbanan, who say that when he sells it to him, he gets no land. Afilu the Rav Papa. Even according to Rav Papa, who said before that when you sell to two parties, one party gets the trees plus some land, and the other party gets the land. Why? Dharma yeshlo, hayin milagei b'shnei lukuchot. Rav Papa's logic also only stands by the two lukuchot. Why? Dharma lei. Just like he sold to you in the most generous manner to the person who bought the land, says to me too, as the Bala Ilan, he sold to me in the most generous manner. When he sold to me in the most generous manner, that means what? That I get land along with my trees. So again, then with machlokas between Rav Papa and Rav Zvid has to do with what is the balance between the two buyers over here. According to Rav Zvid, the balance between the buyers is, look, I have no part of your purchase, and you have no part of my purchase. That's the way Rav Zvid looks at it. The Papa says, how can you say that? No, mocher b'ayin yofeh mocher. Mocher b'ayin yofeh mocher means that both of us get the best deal. So you just like you get a great deal on your land, I have to get a great deal on my trees. And great deal on trees means I get the land along with the trees. So you can't take me away from that. But over here, it won't matter, because here there's only a single seller. Since there's only a single seller in our case over here, then we say, according to Rabbi Kiva, he sells with the land. Because, even according to Rav Zvid, because he's ma'in yofet. And according to Rav Papa, according to the Chachamim, he'll sell and you get no land, because you sell stingily, and there's no other competing interest here that will get, or allow him to get the land. And therefore he gets nothing out of it. Now again, the Rashbam over here explains that the case that we're talking about over here is a case where there are true trees. That is two trees. Why? Because if he sold them three trees, he for sure would get karka. I mean, three trees come with karka. So obviously the whole case that we're talking about here must be two trees, because that's the only case where he wouldn't automatically get karka. And if we say that the mocher b'ayin yofeh mocher or mocher b'ayin ro yofeh, and that will impact on whether he gets land or doesn't get land. Because even Rabbi Kiva and even agrees, and even the Chachamim agree, once you get the three trees, you get land. That's how the Rashbam explains it. The Ri disagrees, there's the big Tosfos over here. It says, Ein in the Ri l'Ri. He says that when you buy three, Kanakarka can also, Rabbi Kiva can explain his position there also, And he says that over here, the case that we're talking about over here is Begimo Ilanot. We're talking about three Ilanot. And even though generally you would get Karka along with the three Ilanot. So Tosfos has to come up with a Kimta now to deal with this Gemara. What? The case here is either there's only enough land for the trees. There's only enough land for the trees. So now he sells him three trees. Normally you would get land along with the trees. But here, the only amount of land that there is the Tzorach Ilanot. So now he said specifically, Shiar Karka. I left myself karka, so it has to apply to something over here, right? So that we have to do. Or we're talking about a very large field, and he says that he specifies that I'm leaving all the land for myself. So over there, he say, kuliyama lo kana begufa karka klum, right? So except, everybody agrees, this is what everybody agrees, even Rabbi Akiva agrees here, you get no land. The only question at hand is, if your tree dies, can you replant it? So that's what he thinks. The Tosfos really thinks that the Gemara is dealing with here. Not about whether you get karka or you not get karka. So either the only karka that was there was enough for the Ilanot. And he said, I left the karka. So obviously he wasn't giving him the karka for the Ilanot. Or it's a big field and he says to them, I'm taking all the karka. You get zero karka. So since he specified it, there's nothing to talk about. He gets no karka in this case. Ah, so what's Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim have to do with it over here? Ayin Yofi, Ayin Ra. Has to do with whether you have a right to replant the tree when it dies. That's right. Rakiv says, Mocher b'ayin yofe mocher. That means that when the tree dies, you can go replant the tree because it gave you ayin yofe. It means that you have a permanent place to put a tree. So you can do that even after the fact. According to the Chachamim, no. Mocher b'ayin yofe mocher is that even after the tree dies, you can't replace the tree. But we're talking about even a case of three trees according to the Ri. And now again, according to Rav Papa and Rav Zvid, would match with their positions in the previous Gemara, that we're talking about a case. Rav Zvid and Rav Papa before, we're not talking about karka, we're talking about the ability to replant the tree after it's yabish, after it dries out. So before we said, oh, dependence or the ability to replant trees has to do whether you get karka or not get karka. That's what we said before. Tosfos, the Ri separates the two items. It says, no, you could be without karka, but still have a right to replant. I mean, that's the key to his explanation of this Gemara, that it can even be applied to three trees, even though technically you should get karka, but this is a case where you're not entitled to karka because either it's specified or because, right, there was no other karka available, and therefore when he shared karka, he left it for himself. Nevertheless, the right to replant the tree could be the dispute over here between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. So again, as the Machlokes Rashbam and the Ri have had explained the Gemara, the Rashbam says, two ilanot, we're talking about here, so you're not generally entitled to karka, and that's the question at hand. Do you get karka even with two trees here? And that's Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. But he says, no, three trees. So normally you would get karka, but the circumstances make you didn't get karka. And the Machlokes is about whether you have the right to replant after it dries out. So now, Amrei Naradai, and I make a statement. Achlan ritzufim ain lo chazaka. If he eats them ritzufim, then he has no chazaka. What does that mean? So the Rashbam explains the case here. You have these 30 trees that are spread out. But they are not planted or distributed in a proper manner. Meaning that even if he eats them for 3 years, he still gets no chazak over here because the trees are planted in too dense a manner. Ritzufim means not ritzufim like, you know, sequentially ritzufim, but ritzufim means that they are, right, one after the other on the land. They're planted very tightly on the land. So since they're planted in a manner which will not sustain them over the long run, that tells you what? That you can't have a chazak on this land. Why? Because they're omeit lakira. These trees are going to be pulled out. So why does the individual who owns the land not care that you're eating the fruits? Because he knows in the end he's going to pull these trees out anyway. He's just trying to see which trees go best, and then he'll pull them out. And then once he establishes the land to be a permanent state, then he won't let you there anymore. So the fact that you eat here, kilo your machzik, kilo machzayinshi. You're taking a chazaka the way people normally don't treat a field or take care of a field, and therefore they'll not classify or qualify as a Kinyan Chazak, I mean, Cheskat Shloshanim over here. So Matkif Lo Rovo, Elamiata, Hai Mishra, Da Safsata, Mamai Konile. We had earlier in the Gemara these fields of Asafsata, which is this grass. That's some sort of animal feed that grows every 30 days. And it grows, very densely. So how over there we said that and within a 90-day period you can create a Chazaka because you eat it. So Rabbi says, why does it work over there? It grows densely over there too. Why should it work over there that you ever make a Chazaka? Oh, right. So that's what Rashbam. Rashbam says right away that it's not really a good question because I love orche. It's not normal to keep trees so dense, but it is normal to have animal feed. Trees chew up a bunch of the land. I mean, they eat up, they need sustenance from the land. You can't have them dense. This grass, especially if it grows every 30 days, doesn't take a lot out of the land. So he says that's not a real question. But then he goes, maybe that the asafsata works the same way. That people used to plant the asafsata very densely, And then after a little bit, like they used to do with krishim and kruv, he says, like leeks and cabbage, they plant them densely. And afterwards, they go and pull out the middle rows, meaning that they see which is doing the best, and then they start to create the same thing they do with trees. So he says, maybe it's the same case by safsata, that they plant it densely, and then they clear out a portion along the way to make it so that the stuff that remains is good. So that's what the Ashram says in the end. Maybe that's a question of Rav over here. How does it work by safsata? We never had this qualification. And over here, we do have the qualification by trees. So, Ella Amar Rava, Machlan Ritzufim, Ein Lo Karka. Right, says, if you want to talk about Ritzufim, the din is not a problem of Chazaka or establishing Chazaka of the land. The issue is that if you sold it Ritzufim, you get no land along that with these trees. So, if you, say, for instance, they're planted over 10 for a Beit Sa'ah, we don't say automatically that you get the Karka along with the land. Because since the trees are going to be pulled from here, we don't assume that the land is automatically coming along with the trees.
We because don't know which land you're getting.
Right, or maybe you don't know which land. We just don't know what. It's clear you didn't sell you karka because it's not the trees are not established in a way where it would give you the whole area. Generally, when you sell a tree, you get the karka around the tree. If you plant it in a certain amount of densities, we've talked before about 10 in a Beit Sa'ah, 3 within a, right, if they're grown trees, 3 in a Beit Sa'ah versus a shotlot, if they're just, you know, saplings. So all of these have a qualification. So if you plant them in a more dense manner than that, then what you say is that you get whatever around the tree, but you don't get the whole expanse that would have been included had they sold it to you in the normal way. So Amar Rav Zera says that Rav Abba's position is really a machokas tanaim. It's not so clear that Rav Abba's position is right. Why? Because they have a Mishnah that says kerem shunatua pachot mi arba amot. We know that what is the avodata kerem? Avodata kerem is that you get 4 amot around the each vine or each row of vines. So if you're planting a proper vineyard, you would plant a row of vines and then leave 4 amot and then plant another row of vines, 4 amot, another row of vines. That's classified as a kerem. What happens if an individual doesn't do that? He only leaves 2 amot between each row of the vines. So what's going to happen to the vines in between the rows? They're going to pull them out eventually. They're going to see which rows are working and they're going to pull the interim rows so that you end up with enough space between the vines. They won't sustain, the land won't sustain them in a more dense manner. So we know they're going to get pulled out in the end. Exactly our case, or the note. So does this area have a status of a kerem or not? I mean, a kerem is defined by vines, 4 amot, vines, 4 amot, vines. That's a kerem. When you plant them more densely, does it get a shame kerem or not get a shame kerem? Why does it make a difference if it has a shame kerem? Well, it makes a nafkamina for... Right, kilayim makes a difference. Well, that's why it's the mission is found in kilayim. But what, can you plant zero? Can you plant tvua in between? If it classifies as a kerem, you cannot plant tvua in the entire area. If it's not a kerem, then all you have to do is distance yourself 3 tvachim from the vine and plant. You can plant tvua there because that's you have to just leave shir yunika. You have to leave the amount that it won't. They won't grow from each other. They won't cross. You know. I don't know, to cross, get the cross nutrients and be affected by each other. So that's it. 3 tvachim is enough. But if it's a kerem, you can't plant any tua inside of a kerem whatsoever. Even if they're 4 amot apart, you can't stick anything in between. So that's machlokas in the Mishnah in Kilayim. Is it classified as a kerem or is it not classified as a kerem? So do you have to leave 4 amot or do you have to leave 3 tvachim? Right? Or, for instance, are you chozer mi orchei milchama? Right, Mishanakta Kerem, right, comes back from the Milchama, Velo Chilulo comes back. Does this qualify as a Kerem to come back from the war? To get a Ptur, right, to get a Ptur from going out to the army. So that would depend if it's a Kerem or it's not a Kerem. So that would make the Nafkaminas here. It says, Machogos Tanayim, say what? Kerem Shinotua Pachot Mi Arba Amot. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eino Kerem. It doesn't classify as a Kerem, does not get a shame Kerem. Each one is an individual vine until we make it into a Kerem. You do it, space them properly. Lacham Yomrim, Harizeku a Kerem. It is a vine. Vroim et ve'imtzaim ki lo einam. We view the interim or the middle vines as if they're not there. It's a kerem, and you remove the ones that are in the wrong place, in a sense, and everything else will be classified as a kerem in that area. So it has a shame kerem, and right yet it doesn't. What? Even though it's more dense than a normal kerem, it gets a shame kerem, and eventually it'll get fixed to be a kerem. Rabbi Shimon says no. If it's not a kerem from the start, then it doesn't get a shame kerem until you make it into a kerem. So Rabba's position is like Rabbi Shimon. So that's what they're saying. Rabba's stand is exactly a machokas tanaim, and he's like Rabbi Shimon, which is that when you have a dense field, like, or the asafsata, or you have these ilanot, the stay ilan, which is more dense, does it get a shame stay ilan, or is it just individual trees? And that nafkamina will be whether you get how much land you get along. Do you just get the land around each tree, Or do you get the whole steilan? Do you get the whole Beit Sa'ah that is classified as a steilan here? And that will depend on this machlokas Chachamim Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, you would get just the land around the tree. And according to Rabbi, the same. According to Chachamim, this will be classified as a steilan. You'll get the entire Beit Sa'ah that is qualified, that belongs to this tree. All right, we'll stop over here.